urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, it is a pleasure to be back live with you today. The end of December, I haven't been with you because of work obligations, and my apologies to you. But wow, oh wow, do we have a special guest with us today. And I think we're having some problems here, Frank, with the headsets. But I wanted to open up the program to let you know that we will be talking about surrendering to the will of God. Surrendering to the will of God. My dear friends, none of us are without the beautiful task or virtue of surrendering to the will of God. So my friends, as we check our headsets here to make sure everything is okay and the sound is okay, what do we expect at the end of the year? You know, oh, we got it. I think we have it. There's a lot of feedback in the headset. That's all. So we have our producer here, our technical engineer who's checking out the headsets. That's a little bit better. But anyway, I want you to listen to these words from a dear friend of mine, Jennifer Hubbard, who she resides in Newtown, Connecticut, and the younger of her two children, Catherine Violet, was a victim of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in 2012. This is what gave me the inspiration to talk about surrendering to the will of God. Because when one talks about Jennifer Hubbard and her journey, this is nothing less than a miracle how she ministers to other men and women and families about the mercy and unconditional love of God the Father, even in the midst of great trials. She has surrendered to the will of God. I just want to read something that she wrote in Magnificat. And if you have the January 2018 edition of Magnificat, she wrote an essay. And by the way, she writes many essays for Magnificat. But she wrote an essay, and it's on page 109. I'm just going to read a little portion of this as we introduce our special guest today. Jennifer wrote, "I stop and dip my fingers into the small vessel, whispering, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We stopped at this very place to perform the final rite before going to where the ground lay ready to accept her earthly shell. The grief, exhaustion, and pain were palpable as he cast the holy water over the casket. Yet despite the force with which it was sent, the water landed gently, anointing us for the world that waited behind doors where we would all too soon walk. Jesus came from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Jesus emerges from the waters, the same ones that at one time were held back by his Father to save the Israelites, and is anointed with God's gently descending Spirit. Now listen to this. The Beloved is made ready for what only he could accomplish, exchanging the waters of the Jordan with his own blood to wash away the sins of the world." There is a whole other paragraph there. But I thought this was so inspirational. And I want to tell you this opening because this morning I was praying, what do you want of this radio program today? And my husband was saying, what are you going to do? And I didn't know. And then I read this and I knew it was surrendering to the will of God. And I said, Lord, who do you want to be on the radio program with me today? Guess what? The phone rang and Eddie Morris was on the other line.
That's
Hi,
me.
Hi, Ann. How you doing?
Doing great,
I
Ann.
Knew he was the guy. He's been on with me two or three times before. And when I said, he said, well, what would we talk about? I said, surrendering to the will of God. And no one is better at talking about surrendering to the will of God than Eddie Morris, who is a local guy. He's an entrepreneur of real estate, a father of... Oh my gosh, six?
That's right, six.
Six beautiful children. Mm-hmm. And he's busy, you know, in the streets, as we have discussed before, in the streets of Kensington. But mm-hmm. he has so many other stories that could touch your heart. So if you're feeling down and out today, if you feel like it's the end of the world, you can't go on, Ed Morris, what is your message today to bring people hope? Like Jennifer Hubbard, how could she possibly have hope after seeing her six-year-old daughter killed?
Yeah, it's amazing. And thank you so much for allowing me to be on here the third time. I feel like I hit the lottery.
You did, and we hit the lottery.
Right. And I get to speak to all those beautiful people that are listening today. It's such a gift. And you talk about with Jennifer there, and she certainly turns her life over to the Lord. And that's the way to go. One thing I've learned when I do walk the streets of Kensington, or I try to raise my six children, or I try to be a good husband or family member or friend, that I realize I have no control over anything, and that everything is in God's hands, and he has full control. So I just try to be good, and I watch him do his work, and everything always works out. Everything always works out. But the key is to put it in his hands, have confidence, and be patient. The good results may not come right away, but they'll be there. And there's a message in everything.
Well, you told me about a book right before we went on the air. You pulled it up on your phone. Tell our listeners about this book, because it ties to Jennifer Hubbard and it ties to the theme of surrendering to the will of God.
Yeah, it does. And the book is called More Beautiful Than Before. And what it really means is many people have pain and suffering in their lives. And it's very possible for once you get grips with your pain and you get through it and you understand the suffering, that you come out more beautiful than before. And a very negative situation can turn into be tremendously positive. And one of the greatest examples I have is my oldest daughter. Her name is Frances. And I had a sister who died at the age of seven beautiful years, and her name was Frances. And if I did not have her as my sister, and if she did not pass on the age of seven, I would never had my Frances. So I'm more beautiful than before because of my sister Frances, who's not with me now. But without her, I would never had my daughter Frances. So it's been a great, great gift for me. And I always dreamed when I was a kid to have a child. My first one, I wanted to be a girl, and I wanted to name her Frances. And it was just because of my sister Frances. So I'm more beautiful than before.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about the book and why it's important to go through the suffering, that it's not a lost cause, that how could we possibly become more beautiful than before if we've suffered?
Yeah, that's a super question, because, you know, pain is a gift. Suffering is your medicine to get healthy. And once you understand that, it's really God's way of asking you and allowing you to get to know him a lot better. I mean, God's life was complete pain. You know, he ran around, he spoke, he gave speeches, but he was not always well received. And in the end, he was put to death. But his pain was amazing. So when you're in pain, you get a glimpse of his life. And you really get to understand him. And you get to love him more and more and more because you understand what he went through. And you really one of the greatest ways to get to know him is by having your own pain. And then you can really identify with him. But pain is a gift. And I heard an analogy the other day, and it makes so much sense to me. Pain is like a huge wave that's coming. You can't stop the wave. So just ride it for a little while, and it'll knock you down. But when you're ready, you get up. But there's no hurry. But, you know, ride the wave pain and see where it goes. And put it in God's hands, and you'll get back up, and you'll be fine, and you'll be more beautiful than before.
Well, you know, I'm a listener on the other side of this microphone, and I'm saying, oh, that sounds nice, Ed. That really sounds nice. Mm-hmm. Tell some story, personal stories, because when you tell the personal story of even, you know, your own life, what happened, you know, how you lost everything, and how God intervened and brought it back, made your life something different and more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's very true. I mean, everybody remembers that brutal recession we had just in 2008, 9, 10, and 11. And I'll never forget that, but I would not change a thing. But I'm a real estate developer, and real estate's risky. And now in that time frame, it was so bad for me that I could not even pay my own electric bills. With six children, my wife can't even pay an electric bill. That was tough, tough times. But I can remember I was working so hard, 24 hours a day, every day. I'd actually been in the ER three or four times from the pressure. But I'll never forget one day just driving around, and I said, you can't work any harder than this. What am I going to do? And I said, you know what? The heck with working. I grabbed the rosary, and I just put it in my hand, and I just drove around everywhere I went for 2 weeks. All I did was drive around with my rosary in my hand, and I would just say the rosary. And guess what?
What?
Things started getting better. I stopped working. I just started praying. I turned it over. I surrendered it. And little things started happening. And, I'll tell you, it was one great story. It was one time I was just parked in a parking lot. I was reading a newspaper, praying my rosary in my right hand, reading a newspaper in my left hand. And I read that Triffin Township wants to develop real estate right near Route 30, but right near the Paley train station. And guess what? I was in the parking lot right across from the train station, literally exactly where the article in the newspaper was talking about. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm right where the town's talking about. And I look right across from me, and they actually identified a building they thought would be a great location. Well, I get out of my car. I walk across the street, and I knock on the door of this mini apartment building. And no one answered the door, but I ultimately found the owner's name and his phone number. And I called him for about 3 or 4 months every day. And he never answered the phone. I'm a little persistent.
Yes.
Yeah. But so then one day, about 3 months later, a voice answers my call. And he says, hello? And I said, hey, John, my name is Ed Morris. And he goes, yeah, I see you've been calling me a lot lately. I said, yeah, well, I'm a real estate developer, and I see you have a building here, and if you're ever interested in selling it, I'd like to talk to you. Well, he goes, well, I just got out of the hospital, and a doctor told me I only have 1 year to live. I'd love to talk to you. And I almost like, wow. So I met with him. He was a very unhealthy man. When he got to the front door, he had a rooster and a pit bull, and himself answered the door. I was scared to death. But I went in there, and I met him. We became great friends, and then I brought him lunch every day for a year. I became great friends with him. He was 450 pounds and really couldn't get out. I even took him to a concert. But so we became great friends, as I mentioned. And then a year later, he decided to sell me his property. And I'll never forget, I'm driving around my car, and I had the contract in my lap, and I was just smiling. I said, wow, this building and this project could save me. And at that moment, I get a big, big tap on my shoulder, and I jump up, and I think one of my kids are behind me in the car, and there was no one there. And God said to me, Ed, you're going to be okay now. Thank you for taking care of John. You're good. He hit me hard in my right shoulder. I'll never forget it. He spoke audibly to me.
He meaning the Lord.
The Lord. He hit me in my right shoulder. I jumped up, and I said, wow. And he, I mean, physically hit me. I tell my buddies this story, and so they all believe me. And but that was it. But I had surrendered my career to the Lord. And guess what? He fixed it for me. And now I can pay my electric bills.
But you know what? Who's the Ed Morris that knew to take out the rosary beads and start praying and not to worry? You said you ended up in the ER three times from all the stress. But what was the defining moment for you to take out the rosary beads and surrender it to the will of God?
Yeah, well, I just knew. I mean, I was working every day. And actually, maybe the third time I went to the ER, and I forgot, I was looking at one of my properties, and I went blind. I couldn't see. And saw a friend or a person saw me, and they said, what's wrong? I said, well, I can't see. And at that point, I realized I hadn't eaten in 3 days. And I was just work. And they took me, I went down to the Wendy's, and they got me a hamburger and a Coke, and my sight came back. And after that one, I said to myself, you know what? There's a major recession going on here. I mean, everyone's struggling. I said, I can't fix this problem. It's way too big for me. And I said, I'm just going to relax and I'm just going to pray and need some direction. And I knew, and I always loved God. I got that from my mother, my father, but boy, my mother loved God. And she had a lot of challenges. Like I mentioned earlier, she lost her daughter. She also is a breast cancer survivor. And she had some other challenges too. But she loved God. She all the pain she went through, she never ever worried about anything. Never said a bad word, was never mad. Lost her own daughter. Didn't really bother her because she knew someday she would be with God and she'd see her daughter again. She was that patient. But she always trusted God and believed in him. But I just knew you couldn't work any harder than I was working. And I wasn't getting anywhere. So I just said, it's time to turn it over and surrender. And that's when things got better.
Well, if you're just tuning in, dear friends, you're listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm Ann McGlone, your host, and our special guest today is Ed Morris. And it's always a delight to have Ed Morris with us. And we're talking about surrendering to the will of God. If you'd like to speak to Ed directly, we're going to be praying at the end of the program. But if you would like to speak and perhaps share a story with him or some insight, you may call 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906 or 1-888-34-FAITH. 1-888-34-FAITH. Ed would be glad to take your phone call today. If you're out on the road, don't do it while you're driving, unless you have Bluetooth. We don't want any accidents on the road. Right. But it's always a delight to have Ed. And I know he has some stories. You know, I can't wait to hear the next story of how surrendering to the will of God impacted your life and perhaps a story that will impact our listeners.
Well, okay, yeah. I have a bunch, and a lot of them are recent ones. As I mentioned, I have 6 children. And I tell you, my oldest daughter is a neat little story here. You know, you love your kids to go to church all the time, and you're always asking them to, but sometimes you can be a little too pushy, and I know I certainly can be.
Me too.
Yeah, okay. Probably some of our listeners too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But a neat little story happened to me recently. I'm so proud of this young man. My oldest daughter dates a boy, Billy. And, you know, my kids know I love to go to church, and I don't really go to church because I love it, but I do love it. But I go because I want to learn something, and I want to be thankful for what I have. And I always wonder, if someone doesn't go to church, who are they actually thanking for what they have? And with Billy, he didn't always go to church, but I would tell my daughter, I really wish he would. I really wish he would, especially because the boys are the leaders in this world. The men are the leaders of the household. It doesn't matter. I mean, my wife manages, and she's a leader of my house, but in the end, the kids listen to their dads, and there's proven stats out there. If the father goes to church, the kids will go to church almost 90% of the time. If the mother goes to church and the dad does not go, the children go to church maybe 30% of the time. They're just the numbers out there. So I said to my daughter, Frances, I said, Frances, you're dating this young man for all these years, and you'll not go to church. I really think if you ever get married and have children, your kids are not going to go to church. And that's not good for you. But I stopped pushing it. But he's a athletic guy and an aggressive guy and a competitive guy. So one day I said, you know, I need to turn this over to the Lord. I need to surrender. And I got the upcoming gospel that week. And I threw it in front of him, and I said, hey, Billy, why don't you attack that gospel? Why don't you see if you can understand this one? And he thought about it, and he looked at it, and he goes, hey, that's a nice little challenge there. And he read it, and we talked about it, and he saw I had a different perspective than his, and that he had a different perspective than mine, and we chatted about it, and it was fun. And then that was it. Well, next week, Billy texts me, says, hey, Mr. Morris, how come you didn't send me this week's gospel? I said, wow. Look at that. Billy wants to do the gospel reflection again. So I sent it to him, and ever since then, Billy's going to church. He sends it on to his parents. His parents are so happy, and they're all talking about the upcoming Sunday's gospel. And it's so great. It's so great. And he and I have such a different relationship now. Guess what? I turned it over to the Lord. I threw the gospel in front of him, and it hit a nerve with him, and we're so happy, and I have such great times. And every week we attack the gospel together. And we attack it like we're preparing for an Eagles game. It's a pregame.
It's a pregame.
But we have a whole new relationship simply because I turned it over and I surrendered it to the Lord. And it worked so great. And boy, I'm so happy. So happy for him. So happy for my daughter. But guess what? I'm so happy for God because he's got a new soldier on his team. And young Billy, and I'm so proud of Billy. But I'm so happy. Yeah, and that's great.
It's a powerful story for people. Their children do not go to church. And, you know, I had a program probably 4 months ago with someone talking about what do we do, you know. And when you told me this story outside before we came in, I thought this is a powerful story, not only about surrendering to the will of God, but also about our children or our relatives who do not go to church, you know, what to do. And what a witness.
Oh, that's great. So you, typical me, you know.
Uh-oh.
I had to keep it going. I had one victory there. So I have another daughter in similar scenario and another great kid, but not a real churchgoer. And, you know, and I'm pushing it again. And guess what? I'm not getting anywhere. I don't know. And actually, maybe my daughter kind of like saying, hey, Dad, I'm thinking of not going to church now because you're asking me so much. And I knew to back off. I knew to surrender it to the Lord. But one day, this boy, he was Dustin is his name, and he's going to go out to a couple weeks ago. He was going to L.A. to watch the Eagles game.
And oh, I love this story. Go ahead. I know our listeners will love it.
Yeah, there are Eagles fans out there. But as a joke, I said, you know what? I'm just going to say this as a joke. But hey, Dustin, don't forget to go to church out there. I said as a joke, and he looks me in the eyes with a different kind of a look. And I said, well, did you hear? Did Tyler tell you, my daughter? I said, no, I didn't tell anything. And then my daughter Tyler was there. She goes, no, I didn't tell you, Dad. Well, Dustin walks up to me and goes, I just realized that I need a faith journey.
Whoa, a faith journey.
He needs God in his life. I'm like, wow. I start running up and down my house doing cartwheels and laughing. And I was jumping for joy. I was one of the happiest days of my life, literally. And my family's like, what's wrong with you? No one can love God that much. And I said, I was so happy to hear what he just said. It's the greatest gift I ever got in my life. And I was literally saying that. So it's great. So here's what happens. So I take him to a gospel reflection. And we said there's 17 prayers. There's 60 men go to this reflection. And this happened to me twice. And it's so cool. It's God's way of saying, Ed, thank you for bringing Dustin to the reflection. So the 16 prayers start at one spot. And there's 60 men there. Well, guess what? The last prayer, number 16, ended at Dustin. So he got to say the last prayer. And that was God's way of saying, Ed, thank you for bringing Dustin. I got him included. He said a prayer. Now, Dustin's last name is Keen. So we were actually in a room in Aronimink Country Club. So the reflection's over, and we go to leave the room, and Dustin turns around, because it was a good day for him. He turns around, looks into the room, and all of a sudden, he saw a label on the top of the room. It was called the Keen Room. And I'm like, he looks at that. He turns pale. And it was God speaking directly to him, saying, thank you for coming. God already thanked me by giving him that last prayer. And then he thanked Dustin directly by that room being his last name. He knew he got a sign. And all of a sudden, he's all dialed in now. And I'm so happy once again. So these kids they're on a journey now. They love it. Their relationships are stronger, but they're happier people.
And you are too.
Oh,
and it's all
God.
About surrendering to the will of
no
God.
No doubt about
well,
it.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Kathy, hi. You're live on the air.
Hi, this is Kathy. I had the pleasure of going to school with Ed.
Uh-oh.
up. And he had a Facebook post he was going to be on, so I thought I'd tune in.
Oh,
this is a great topic, I think, and I think one of the things with surrendering is it's kind of one of those things you just learn as you go along. And actually, through suffering, the Lord really helps you to perfect how to surrender over time through all the challenges and difficulties that we face in life. I can share a story, or do you need a question more?
No, this is your moment, Kathy.
Is this your moment.
Okay.
Is this Kathy M.?
Yes,
ooh,
it is.
Yeah, all right, done.
I'm actually recuperating at home from surgery. So really, this was a complete surprise. I was sitting down, resting, and I thought, I have time to do this today.
All right.
Wonderful.
So great to talk to you.
I have a great story. I am a nurse. My husband's a physician, and our daughter is a physician assistant, and her husband is a doctor. But when my daughter, back in 2009, was having her first child, she had severe back problems toward the end of her pregnancy from a car accident that she and I were in back in 1997. So long and short of it is I went to be with her the last week, and she was basically on the floor the whole week and having to take narcotics for the pain, and she couldn't walk and all that. And her husband was working that whole week. So by the end of the week, I was not happy with what the obstetrician was telling us as far as staying home and just resting until it was into labor. She was full term. And I said, when her husband came home from work, I'm like, eat some pizza. We're going to the ER. Mm-hmm. I said, we're not waiting anymore. She couldn't keep taking these medications. You know, the baby's full term and is healthy. Let's go to the ER. And let's just say from the beginning till the final surgery she had, it was a nightmare. And she was at a very good hospital, a hospital that she used to work at. And it was just one mistake after another from the time we set foot in the hospital. My husband was home here in York, Pennsylvania, working, and I came down. I mean, when I was in the ER with her, you know, it's like God just gave me a boldness to speak to these medical people, because my specialty was trauma, and this was obstetrics, so it was kind of out of my field. And I thought either they're crazy or I'm crazy, but I think I don't agree at all with what they're suggesting. They wanted me to take her home, and I said, we're not leaving here till that baby gets out. So long story short, the next morning that they did keep her overnight, because I said, we're not leaving. The next morning at 7 a.m. I was sleeping in the waiting room, and they came to get me and said the doctors are in the room. And I went in her room, and there was like 25 personnel in there, and they tried to kick me out because she was only allowed one support person, which was her husband. And I said, I'm not leaving until I know what's going on here. And they wanted to induce her to deliver the child naturally. And I was like, there's no way she can do that with her back the way it is. So long and short of it, I just surrendered at that moment, because we had this long argument the night before, mm-hmm. with the medical people wanting to induce her labor. Mm-hmm. And I realized it was out of my hands. And I just said, Lord, open up something. She cannot go through this delivery. And lo and behold, 5 minutes later, they went to check the schedule. They came back, and the doctor just curtly said, we can't induce her today. We don't have a time in the schedule, so she's going to have a C-section. And I was like, oh, thank you, God, you know. Mm-hmm. So she went into the C-section, and the baby was delivered healthy, and everything was going fine. And my son-in-law came out. We saw the baby, and I said, okay, I can go home and get a shower and come back. And on the way back to the hospital, my son-in-law called me and said Carolyn was paralyzed from the waist down.
Boy.
I said, well, what do you mean paralyzed? He said, like, she can't feel anything from her waist down. So I said, and they had her in the MRI. I said, okay, I'll be there in a couple minutes. I went right in, and his mother and uncle were in the waiting room. And I said, they didn't know what happened to Carolyn. So I said, we have some trouble. Carolyn is paralyzed. It still makes me upset now. But I really had such faith in the Lord, not that it would turn out perfect, but that he would take care of it, however he took care of it. And so we went up to the, they had my daughter in post-op neurology unit, okay, not maternity, which was a huge problem because she was post-op maternal, and the neurology people didn't know how to take care of her with that, blah, blah, blah. So they weren't really checking her, but being a neuro nurse, my son-in-law being a doctor, we were checking her. So they finally did move her down to maternity, but they didn't know how to take care of her neurologically. It was kind of wacko. But anyway, there was so much chaos. It was chaos reigning. And I just stopped myself. I said, chaos. The evil one is all about what's going on here. You know, the enemy of our souls, Satan, is making complete chaos here. This just does not make sense. And I just grabbed my rosary. I could not even pray because I was so stressed trying to get things done. But I had it in my hand, and I just knew that the Blessed Mother was with me. I said, come on, Mary, we got to take care of my daughter and get the care. Let's get it together here, you know. Mm-hmm. And they finally called a neurosurgeon in. Now, of course, we have no idea who he is. He sat down with the whole family out in the waiting room. And being a neurosurgeon, you know, being a former neurosurgery nurse and trauma, as soon as we sat down with him, I said, oh, peace reigned. Peace came with him and his presence and the way he spoke with us. I had complete peace that things were going to be taken care of as best as they could. Mm-hmm. Also knowing that they could possibly not turn out well. So the next day, you know, Carolyn couldn't walk. She was in maternity. They had no idea that how to take care of her neurologically. So that was a challenge. But we saw that on the nurses' monitors in the unit, they were all looking up her condition on their computers. I could see it all on all their monitors because there were so many mistakes made that the nurse came in, two nurses came in and were trying to pull Carolyn out of bed. And I said, please. I said, you know, she had back surgery. You know, be careful. She can't get up. They were almost yelling at her and irritated that she wasn't trying to get up on her own. They thought she just had a C-section. She had a C-section followed 4 hours later by major back surgery.
Wow.
So I said, they said, oh, she had back surgery? And I said, yes. And I said, how come you don't know that? Her nurse didn't even know it. I just said, why? I just cannot even believe this. So anyway, so then the Lord sent us one nurse that took care of the situation. They were all reading up on it and what was wrong with her. And from that moment on, I mean, it's just like God's grace took over that whole situation because I went home. I came back and I totally broke down because the doors to the unit had glass in them. Mm-hmm. And when I was coming up them, I saw my daughter out in the hallway with her husband standing up and she was walking with a walker.
Oh, wow.
I just could not believe it. I just could not believe it.
So she got better.
Crying, and the nurse was like, why are you crying? And I told her. And
wow.
It's just like, oh, my gosh. But my daughter has fully recovered.
Wow.
On the way home, I ended up staying with my daughter for 3 months. And then on the way home was Divine Mercy Sunday. I stopped at Doylestown at Our Lady of Częstochowa. And the gentleman in front of me turned around and gave me a Divine Mercy card, which I have had such a devotion to Divine Mercy since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was the Lord's way of saying, I have this. And I knew because we didn't know if my daughter would be able to even go home. We thought she'd have to go to a rehab center. Mm-hmm. And so I was open to the possibility that we might have to move in with her or her with us or whatever.
That's why you made those.
Work it out.
That's why you made those 35 Divine Mercy
things.
I had
another child, and I gave her that Divine Mercy card. And I said, Carolyn, put this on your refrigerator and thank Jesus every day that you recovered because even the doctor didn't know if you would recover.
Right.
You know, and the 2 days later, you're up walking and you got discharged to home. It's really a miracle.
Kathy, I remember those.
Just a year ago.
I remember the 30 Divine Mercy pictures you gave
even me. In the darkest moments, and if we just trust and hang on, you know, he helps us whichever way it turns out. You know, it's not always positive turnout, but even in the non-positive outcomes, he's still working through the people that you meet in those challenges. So it's just, he's always there with us.
Well,
always
thank you.
Holding us up.
Thank you, Kathy. Ed wants to respond to you.
Yeah, I remember you gave me the 35 Divine Mercy photos for the kids at Liguori Academy. Remember that? So now I know the origin of that. That's great.
Yeah.
So
had on my heart because I said, boy, if I lived down near Philly, I'd be all over helping with that problem.
Yeah. Well, great, great. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Kathy. God bless you for this personal witness, and we'll continue to pray.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
God bless
you.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a powerful, powerful witness.
Yeah.
Are we going to a break, Frank? We're going to come back after this. If you want to speak with Ed, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. We'll be back right after this.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we have a busy day today. Ed Morris is our special guest. We're talking about surrender to the will of God. You are listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm Anne McGlone, your host. I want to just share one specific prayer with you before we go to our next caller. It was shared by Father James Blunt 2 weekends ago at Malvern Retreat House during a Flame of Love retreat, and he asked everyone to pray this surrender prayer hundreds of times a day.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything.
I place all my trust in you.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And it's a special novena by Father Dolinda Rutello, R-U-O-T-O-L-O. And in the meantime, we have another caller. Margaret, you're live on the air with Ed. Welcome.
Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome. You're live on the air with Ed.
Is that Margaret? Okay. Margaret?
Yes, it is Margaret L.
Oh, Margaret L. Wow.
And it's the other Margaret. So, Eddie, my question was, and I know you know this because I've commented on your Facebook posts and we've talked about it personally, but of all the wonderful things that you're involved in, the one that I feel the most strongly about, I guess, is your work with the kids in Kensington with this god-awful opioid crisis that, I mean, you cannot pick up the paper on any given day and not read a front-page story about some new tragedy or some new statistic, and you are much more involved in it than really anyone I know on a personal level. And I just wondered in light of all the bad news and the sad news, because you and I know a lot of the same people, and lately there's been some good news, but an awful lot of sad news, and I just wanted to hear what keeps you going and what keeps you feeling confident that, you know, good change is about to happen, and like what.
Yeah. Well, I understand, Margaret. Like, yep. That's great. That's a, and, you know, so many times you read all those articles, and when you read the articles, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's such a bad problem. But the neat thing is just a couple of years ago when I my first time I went down to Kensington, and for some reason I just wanted to tell all my friends about it because I was meeting these beautiful young girls, and none of them were from the Kensington. They were all from the suburbs. Well, that was just September was 2 years ago, so it's really 2 years and 3 months ago, and no one knew much about this problem. And now, just like Margaret said, you can't pick up a newspaper without it being on the front page. It's on the radio all everywhere. It's on TV. It's absolutely everywhere. The politicians are passing bills to minimize the problem. If a child wanted to buy opioids today, they can get a 1 week supply and no refills. Governor Christie is doing a big job in New Jersey. Kellyanne Conway just became the opioid czar in the country. Opioid czar for the entire country. So, even though it's front and center everywhere, to me that's part of the solution because nobody was talking about it 2 years ago. Now it's everywhere. And
that's a really good point. And I even noticed one thing that I have found really, I don't want to say refreshing, but very positive, is in the obituaries anymore, you see a lot of families reaching out and saying, my son or my daughter, you know, passed away suddenly after a courageous battle with addiction.
Right.
And they don't hide it. They bring it front and center.
You're exactly right.
Ask for prayers and ask for support. And
because for some reason, I'm so close to the mothers of some of the children that have passed away, and I stay in touch with the mothers, and the beauty of talking to the mothers and them surrendering to God and getting through the pain is that they don't want their child to be known as a child that died of a heroin overdose or something like that. They want them to be known for something bigger than that. And if they can talk to some other parents to help them get a better relationship with their children, then even they've lost their child, but they're going to help another parent not go down that same road. And I look, Margaret, look at you and I. Look how close you and I are now. But our relationship, we went to high school together, but now we're so close because we're talking about this thing. So look how it brought you and I together, and there's probably 2,000 of our close friends that are all talking to each other now because we're all looking for solutions. We're all talking about this thing, and every one of us will do anything for any of our friends' children. And so that was my I know I personally can't fix these children, but you know, I can surrender to God, and hopefully he will do something to help these children, to get them to a point where they're fed up with the problem and that they want to get a solution. But the main goal I always had when I wanted to start showing the posts on Facebook and everything is for parents to go get better relationships with their children and realize that these kids go down these bad roads for many, many reasons. Maybe they don't feel good about themselves. Maybe they don't have a lot of friends. Maybe they just haven't done well in school, or they got weak for a moment. But if parents will just get really close with their children, talk with them about these serious topics, and that's such a great part of the solution. And unfortunately, we've lost a lot of children, but so many people are talking about it now, and it is front and center, and it really can't get worse. It was so bad. So that's what drives me. And I see everybody talking about it, and Margaret and I are such a great example how this problem has gotten us so close. And if we hear one of our friends has a problem, you know, I know Margaret's right in her car, and we'll go help. I will help, and within 10 minutes, we have 100 people at any spot to help out. And that, to me, is a solution. And we pray. Think about that, Margaret. Every time we find a child who's hurting, what do? We pray. And there's many kids, and Heather is the greatest example, and Margaret, you know her. Heather was one of the very first children I met in Kensington. Her mother was St. Denis Parish, went to Archbishop Carroll with myself, my wife, and many of our friends. And her daughter was 73 pounds on Kensington Avenue. And virtually, I couldn't have had much more time to live. And I walked up to her, and she said to me, and I gave her my rosary ring, blessed by the Pope, and she said, that's funny, because today I had a conversation with my mother, and we both agreed the only way she'll ever get healthy if she got a sign from God. And I walked up and gave her the ring. And today, Heather is engaged to her boyfriend of 13 years ago. She's going to be married any day now, and she's going to have a baby in July, and she's clean for 6 months. So that's examples of what we've done, Margaret. And everybody knows about Heather, and many success stories out there. And we're gonna solve this problem.
Thank you, Margaret. We appreciate you calling today and hope you continue to listen. And let's have Eddie back, right?
Yes, and keep up the good work, Ed.
Yeah, yes. And Margaret, we're going to say a prayer for Margaret.
Yes.
A little doggy bite. That little, we're going to do that. Everybody, we got to say a prayer for Margaret.
We're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Margaret and the bite to her face. And we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that this bite be healed, not infected, and that the doctors and Margaret will be surprised at the special, special healing that will take place on her face. And we thank you and praise you for protecting her, and we ask for good resolution of this bite to her face. In your holy name, amen.
And she will be more beautiful than before.
Oh, amen.
All right, Margaret. So
God,
thank you so much for calling.
Happy New Year.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Wow, powerful. I don't think we have enough time to have any more callers, but we have a lot of ground to cover. We're talking with Ed Morris, Surrendering to the Will of God. You know, Ed, tell our listeners a little bit. I know you have so many stories, you have them written down, but what is your probably favorite story of 2017 as we close out the year?
Wow. You know what? My favorite story is a group of stories, and it's all about forgiveness. That's my favorite thing because, and it's a lot about surrendering. I just a couple of years ago, I like everybody, had probably many strained relationships, whether it's business or family or friends or whatever. But I just went on a mission. You know, I said, I'm going to forgive everybody in my life that I ever offended, that may have offended me. I don't care where the blame was. Just want to clean up everything. Because God always says, you can't get into heaven if you have any strained relationships. Remember the one parable where the young man was bringing a gift to the altar?
Yes.
And when he got to the altar, he remembered that he was not getting along with his brother. And God said, leave that gift here, and you come back when you've made up with your brother. And God didn't want to see him. He said, I want you to come back when you have all your relationships are repaired. So you say in 2017... you know, I just really got into forgiveness, and I talk about it where I go. And I had a tenant one time that owed me a lot of rent, and every time he and I would see each other, he did not have the money. He could not pay me. And every time I saw him, it was just a bad, bad deal. And I said to myself, well, he doesn't have the money. He can't pay me. So I said, I need to free this man up. So I went up to him, and I said, you know that rent you owe me? Forget about it. You're forgiven. I don't want it. Go on with your life. Go get strong. And I gave him new life. And I said, you're completely forgiven, and life is great. And he looked at me, and he teared up. He goes, this is one of the best days of my life. And all I did was free him of the guilt. He couldn't pay me. It was 8 years I'm waiting for it, but I forgave him.
Wait, whoa, 8 years?
Yeah.
Eight years of rent.
Yeah, well, he owed it to me for 8 years, but 3 years of rent. But I'm a sucker. So, but he had some tough times. And I never kicked them out or anything. But, you know, God improved my life, as we talked earlier. And I didn't need the money. But he couldn't pay me. But I had to free him up. So I forgave him. And we're great friends now. And he went on and forgave other people. And I always talk about that story. And I have so many friends that are, everybody's out aggressively forgiving people. It's such the way to go. There's no reason to have a brother or sister that you don't get along with, a cousin, a parent, a friend, a business associate. You get no value out of having a bad relationship. You get tremendous value of repairing it, and you surrender it. You don't look to get anything out of a forgiveness. Just clean up the relationship. Get strong. Give life. Give life back to that person who's not feeling good around you. So that was my major accomplishment for 2017. I kind of forgave everybody that I could ever think about that may have needed it, whether I annoyed someone or they annoyed me. But I'm all good there.
So what is the Lord placed on your heart for 2018? Mm-hmm. You know, as we go forward, we have just a few minutes, and I want to end with prayer. But what has He placed? Anything, or you're just out there hanging by a parachute?
Well, funny, today I started a foundation, and it's called the Edward A. Morris Jr. Family Foundation. And a lot of my friends have said, Ed, how can I help you? How can I help you with all your work you're doing? And I really didn't have an answer for them. But I started a foundation. So now people, I can say, well, you can make a contribution to this foundation. And what we're going to do is we're going to help out children with addictions. We're going to help out maybe families with cancer or any family that just needs help. But I have a foundation set up now. I can't wait. So now we have a vehicle to go do more work. And the bottom line is 18. I just have to step it up and do more and more and more and more and more. And, you know, it's just the way to go. It's the way you should live your life. Just God wants, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I read a great line this week. It says, God puts many, many great things on our heart. And He asks us to put those great things in our heart. So He will never force you to do anything, but He'll give you lots of recommendations. He'll place these things on your heart. And we have to open our hearts and let His words come in. So that's what I want to do in 18. Think of everything He's telling me to do. Read all those Gospels. Think of all the great ways I can make other people happy. And then do them. And just everywhere I walk, just make anybody that I interact with a better person. And it'll ultimately make me a better person. And anytime I talk to a person, it's going to be me, that person, and God, right in the middle. So the three of us, we're going to do a lot of work this year. I can't wait.
Well, it's been an exciting radio broadcast with you to end 2017 with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it was providential that you called today.
Yeah.
And it'll be providential to follow this journey throughout 2018 as well.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough for letting me come here talk about my best friend with my best friends and with you, my best friend. It's so great to just talk about God. He's so easily my best friend. And He does everything for everybody. Just got to be a little bit patient.
Yeah, 2018 is a year of hope. It's a mm-hmm. year of joy. And mm-hmm. the Lord wants us to be joyful and hopeful and forgiving in 2018. Mm-hmm. And certainly this radio apostle, we have about 4 minutes left. We're going to take some time. You know, one of the things you mentioned ahead of time was to pray for the people, you know, behind the scenes and those who have mm-hmm. family members who are locked in addictions or mm-hmm. unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. We're going to take that time. But I also wanted to share with you, dear friends, that it is the end of 2017, and In His Sign Catholic Radio Network need your contributions. If you need an end of year contribution or donation, this is the place, at 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. And as you know, it's 40 plus years of consistent radio broadcasting, and they're all volunteers. No one is paid. All the broadcasters, all the people behind the scenes, it's all voluntary, which is really amazing to think 40 plus years on the air. And Kathleen McCarthy, we need to thank her for her commitment to continue this ministry in faith, in good faith. And I have to tell a quick story before we go into prayer. I have been praying, Lord, you know, I don't know if you want me to continue with this radio program. I don't think anyone's listening. I really don't. And every time I pray that prayer, someone comes up to me at a retreat and says, I love your radio program. That I said, now I have two listeners. I'm so happy. But it's a sign from the Lord to surrender to His will, not my will.
Yeah, Margaret and Kathy today.
That's right, and many others. And right. So they listen, and they listen to all the other programs throughout the week as well mm-hmm. on this Catholic Radio Network. So we thank you for this in advance. And, of course, we pray that you have a beautiful, healthy, happy, healthy new year. But in the meantime, we're going to get down and pray right now.
Right on, yeah.
Do you want to lead the prayer, Ed?
Well, I don't do this. Okay, well, let's give it a whirl.
Well, he's learning on the air.
I'm learning the air. Well, dear God, thank you for all the beautiful people that are listening today. And we pray that all the children that are in need today will find a way to get closer to you, to pray to you, to ask you to help them get better. And they will no longer rely on anybody but you to get better. Because we know by surrendering to you, you are the great solution. And we thank all the, we pray that many, many people out there that need to forgive somebody will do that to close out 2017, and we'll also forgive a lot of people in 2018, and we'll make the world a better place. And everybody will open up their hearts to all the great words that God gives them. And God will provide the words, and we will allow those words to go into our hearts and make us better people in 2018.
Well, that's pretty good for a guy who doesn't usually pray on the air. That's very powerful. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done for all of us and those behind the scenes on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. And until next year, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We pray Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and that you dedicate and consecrate your family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus in going forward, and to trust and to know that Jesus loves you in a very special way and has a very special plan for your life. Until next week, God bless you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.